I have another article from the New York Times, a different author, and it was called Raising a Moral Child, which I think is quite interesting. You know, how do you, not only for children, but I think for adults, encourage people to be ethical? Okay, so I'll read you a little bit and comment on it. Okay, so this person says, what does it take to be a good parent? We know some of the tricks for teaching kids to become high achievers. For example, research suggests that when parents praise effort rather than ability, children develop a stronger work ethic and become more motivated. Okay? Yet, although some parents live vicariously through their children's accomplishments, success is not the number one priority for most parents. We're much more concerned about our children becoming kind, compassionate, and helpful. Hmm? Surveys reveal that in the United States, parents from European, Asian, Hispanic, and African ethnic groups all place far greater importance on caring than achievement. These patterns hold around the world. When people in 50 countries were asked to report their guiding principles in life, the value that mattered most was not achievement, but caring. Despite the significance that it holds in our lives, teaching children to care about others is no simple task. And one study found that parents who valued kindness and compassion frequently fail to raise children who shared those values. Okay. So are some children simply good-natured or not? For the past decade, I've been studying the surprising success of people who frequently help others without any strings attached. That's a worthwhile thing to study, I think. Okay. Genetic twin studies suggest that anywhere from a quarter to more than a half of our propensity to be giving and caring is inherited. I'm not sure I buy that. That leaves a lot of room for nurture. And the evidence on how parents raise kind and compassionate children flies in the face of what many of even the most well-intentioned parents do in praising good behavior, responding to bad behavior, and communicating their values. By age two, children experience some moral emotions, feelings triggered by right and wrong. To reinforce caring as the right behavior, research indicates praise is more effective than rewards. Okay? Reward runs the risk of leading children to be kind only when a carrot is offered, whereas praise communicates that sharing is intrinsically worthwhile for its own sake. Yeah. So I think that's quite interesting, yeah, that if you always raise kids or even adults with the whole idea of conditioning and you have your carrot out in front, some material, something that people can get, that runs the risk of people only being kind if they can get something. Yeah. Whereas praise, makes people feel good about themselves because of thinking I'm a good person. Yeah. And that's the kind of child you want to raise. And in any setting, you know, we're even adults, even here too. You want people to be kind and caring, not because Buddha said so, and not because of, otherwise you have to do whatever, but because you feel like it's an intrinsically good thing to do. But what kind of praise should we give when our children show early signs of generosity? So there's different kinds of praise. Many parents believe it's important to compliment the behavior, not the child. That way, the child learns to repeat the behavior. Indeed, I know one couple who are careful to say, that was such a helpful thing to do, instead of, you're a helpful person. So saying that was a helpful thing to do talks about the action. Saying you're a helpful person talks about the child as a human being. Okay. But is that the right approach? In a clever experiment, some researchers set out to investigate what happens when we commend generous behavior versus generous character. Okay. After 7 and 8 year olds won marbles and donated some to poor children, the experimenter remarked, gee, you shared quite a bit. Okay. The researchers randomly assigned the children to receive different types of praise. For some of the children, they praised the action. It was good that you gave some of your marbles to those poor children. Yes, that was a nice and helpful thing to do. Okay. For others, they praised the character behind the action. I guess you're the kind of person who likes to help others whenever you can. Yes, you are a very nice and helpful person. Okay, which one do you think worked better? How many people think the first one? How many people think the second one? About half and half. A couple of weeks later, when faced with more opportunities to give and share, the children were much more generous after their character had been praised than after their actions had been. Okay. Praising their character helped them internalize it as part of their identities. Okay, here I want to pause, because I can see that praising, you know, they internalize it as part of their identities. But I think it's also important with children and with adults that you also state what the action was that they did, because otherwise so many things transpire, they're not really sure what it was they did that you're approving of. Yeah? So I think it's very important to say, you know, when you cleaned up your room, yeah, that was a very nice thing to do. And you're a very considerate person because you know that, you know, it makes everybody in the house happy. Something like that. So I think it's good if you put in both of them. Yeah, so you make sure that the person knows that what they did was something that you recognize as valuable. Otherwise, you know, especially with little kids, it's like, what did I do? Yeah, I think on the contrary, when you're trying to discipline kids, that's when you should really emphasize the action and not the character. And say that action was harmful, that action hurt somebody's feelings. But usually what parents do is they say, you're a bad person. You're a bad boy, you're a bad girl. And that makes the kid feel very bad about themselves and makes them feel like they're defective inside, when all you're really trying to do is discourage particular behavior. Yeah. So it's good to consider that. I think negative feedback, don't talk about the person. Because anyway, we believe everybody has Buddha nature. So, you know, telling somebody they're a bad person or a good person is really inaccurate. They're just talk about the deeds, you know. And it seems like with praise, that they're saying more, the kids respond better when you talk about their character, but I actually think you have to talk about the behavior too, so that they know what it was they did. Okay, so a couple of weeks later, when faced with more opportunities to give and share, the children were much more generous after their character had been praised than after their actions had been. Praising their character helped them to internalize it as part of their identities. The children learned who they were from observing their own actions. Yeah. I am a helpful person. This dovetails with new research that finds that for moral behaviors, nouns work better than verbs. To get 3 to 6 year olds to help with a task, rather than inviting them to help, it was more effective to encourage them to be a helper. Yeah, so instead of saying, please help me, yeah, please be a helper. Interesting, huh? Cheating was cut in half when instead of please don't cheat, participants were told, please don't be a cheater. Yeah? When our actions become a reflection of our character, we lean more heavily towards the moral and general choices. Over time, it can become part of us. Okay? So, you know, how does that apply to us? You know, please don't cheat versus please don't be a cheater. Yeah. When you say something to somebody and they say, you know, I'm not sure if that's, you know, I don't think that's true. That sounds very different than saying you're a liar. Doesn't it? Yeah. Somebody says you're a liar. That's, you know. And even, I mean, what's more affrontive, you're lying or you're a liar? Which one would strike you? You're a liar, yeah? So that's talking about our character rather than you're lying is just the behavior. Okay, so it's also showing when we give feedback, we talk about the action. If we have to give negative feedback, talk about the action, because it's going to be much easier for the other person to understand what we're saying than if we, you know, do something, you know, that brands their character. And when you look at it, you know, when people are very angry at somebody else, do they talk about the actions or do they talk about somebody's character? They talk about the character, don't they? And they call people a name. You're a jerk. You're an idiot. You know. You're this and that. They call people nouns instead of saying you did this, and that action is disturbing to me. Yeah. So it's interesting to look. Also, this can really help us, I think, with when we get angry. Is instead of just labeling the person as that person is a liar, that person is a cheat, that person is blah, 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 you know, to think of that person did this behavior. Okay. And I think if we look at the behavior, then also the intensity of our anger isn't so much. What do you think? Where as soon as we say, you know, that person is, you know, just, when we use sometimes adjectives too, oh, that person's just ridiculous. Yeah. So there, you know, is a case of adjectives, but it's not, you know, that person's ridiculous. That person can't be trusted. That person is blah, blah, blah. That also is very different than saying that person did this action. Yeah, because even you're not using a noun there, you're using an adjective, you're branding it as if the whole person were that, you know, rather than discussing a particular action that they did. Yeah. So it's something to look out for. In ourselves, you know, when we get upset with something, are we upset with the person or upset with the behavior? We usually get upset with the person. But it's actually the behavior that we should be upset with, isn't it? Yeah, it's not the person. The person has Buddha nature. And, you know, in another situation, the person can act totally differently and they're our friend and we like them. So it's always the behavior that's objectionable. So this mind that, again, creates friend and enemy, which are nouns and categories, yeah, really hinders us from forgiving people and accepting apologies and so on. And instead we just give a label which could be a noun or it could be an adjective, you know. Can't trust them, whatever it is, you know. But whenever we do that, it actually impedes us from connecting with that person and having an attitude of loving kindness, or even acceptance, or even forgiveness. Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? You know, to see how we describe things in our mind, and how when we give certain labels, we make it much more difficult for ourselves to forgive. Yeah. And that actually, you know, can be very, very dangerous, because, you know, one of our, we have in both our root and our auxiliary bodhisattva vows, yeah, precepts about accepting others' apology. When somebody apologizes and we don't accept their apology because that person's a jerk, can't trust that person, you know, we've described it that way to ourselves, we are breaking our bodhisattva vows by not accepting others' apologies. Yeah. So who does that hurt? Yeah. So very important, if we find ourselves resistant to accepting others' apologies, that we really look at our own mind and how we're describing things to ourselves, because in fact we're harming ourselves. Okay, I'll just do one more paragraph and then the rest tomorrow. Praise appears to be particularly influential in the critical periods when children develop a stronger sense of identity. When some researchers praise the character of five-year-olds, any benefits that may have emerged didn't have a lasting impact. They may have been too young to internalize moral character as part of a stable sense of self. And by the time children turn 10, the differences between praising character and praising actions vanished. Both were effective. Yeah. Tying generosity to character appears to matter most around age 8, when children may be starting to crystallize notions of identity. But I think it plays a role even as adults. You know, if somebody says to you, you're a really kind person, rather than, you know, thank you for doing that, this or that, you feel much better about yourself, don't you? Yeah? It's able, you know, you're able to develop a better sense of self-esteem that way. So it's good to remember this when we're giving people feedback. So from Romper Room, do be a doobie and don't be a don't be. And you remember kids of your generation saying that they decided to be a doobie rather than a don't be. I guess that's also what you're encouraged to do. Yeah. You're encouraged to just drive yourself crazy, you know, producing things, or do be a helper. Yeah.